You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL podcast. Oh my God, it's a train tsunami! From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. Got heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Colleen Wolf, sitting in the Mark Sessler chair. Mark is not with us today. Have him back later in the week. And yes, it is the trade deadline episode. The deadline hits in exactly 10 minutes as we're recording this episode, Greggy. And in retrospect, it is not at all surprising. First of all, trade tsunami, copyright, Rosie.
I was a little early on it, unfortunately, though. Like, I didn't time it well. I had stopped talking about the trade tsunami, and then it truly arrived.
Tsunamis never
arrive
when you want them to. That's what they
do. You put the warning out for it.
Right. The siren went off, and, you know, right, Justin, the siren went off for the tsunami. And what I realize now is that we should have seen this coming because there's so many teams that you could make a case for making a January run because the league's so wide open. And the fact that in recent years, everyone's gotten way more open to making deals. We're going to get a lot of trades, and we certainly have.
And there's just more cap space, and there's more GMs that look at successful teams, like the Eagles and the Rams and the Patriots, who are always at the top of the list in terms of the amount of trades, and they say, why can't we do that? And more to the point, I think they got a little word from Roger Goodell in the league office. This is a totally speculative and off-base guess here. And he was like, MLB, trade deadline's great.
Right.
NBA, trade deadline's great. Let's start picking it up, people. Entertainment.
So what?
Let's blow that World Series off the front page.
So there was a meeting.
Not gonna happen.
So there was a meeting where Rog said you must trade. Okay, we're good with the siren.
I mean,
I
don't believe in that, but I do think it was a shortcoming, and I've talked about that a lot. That the NFL doesn't match up in terms of free agency excitement or trade deadline excitement, and now they're getting there.
No, they're definitely getting there, and we're going to get into all of it. We had the quick emergency pod on Monday talking about the Roquan Smith trade. The
Ravens.
Thank you from the Bears. And that was just an appetizer. So we're going to dig into all of the trades and even the ones that filter out. Hopefully there's a real hammer drop in the next 15 minutes.
It's been a little stressful. I'm not going to lie. This feels like I've been the last like a half hour. I've just been on a treadmill, and you know I don't work out, so this is a lot to keep up with.
You're a preparer, and the rundown of what we're going to talk about has been evolving, and it's a lot.
Because who's done more live TV in this room than Colleen Wolf?
Listen. I am totally fine with breaking news. I can go with the flow, but I do like to prepare a little bit so I can bring something to the table.
All right. Well,
you
know? I believe
you always do. Just your presence.
Yeah.
Thanks. I am having some issues with the headset today, so bear with me.
And your nails
falling
are
off. I know
very
my nails
long.
Are very long. I do this
a little
to myself.
Scary.
All right.
turn this up in my headphones. This will get us kind of into the conversation. Mm.
Trade deadline remix.
There's a wolf. There's a wolf.
I think you look great with these nails. Greg, why don't you try them on?
Give us a little tap. You know, the people like it.
Dippity tap, taparoo.
Let's get into it. Starting with a major trade for the Miami Dolphins. Perfect example. The Dolphins of a team that is in good standing. They're 5-3. Obviously, they're, in most people's eyes, not at the level of, say, the Bills or maybe even the Chiefs, but they're kind of right there. And they have a chance to make a deep playoff run. So they're going all in. They acquire edge pass rusher Bradley Chubb and a 2025 fifth-round pick from the Broncos, who are in sell mode, which was never the plan with this team, but this year has not gone to plan in Denver, in exchange for running back Chase Edmonds, a 2024 fourth-round pick, and San Francisco's 2023 first-round pick. And this is an interesting situation, Greg, because all those deals, all those first-round picks that the Dolphins got in the recent years, they're using them, turning them around, and getting elite veteran talent. And Chubb, in his best pro season, definitely qualifies.
Right. They used some to get Waddle in the draft. They used more to get Tyreek Hill. And now they get Chubb. And I was surprised to see him get so much in terms of compensation. The Dolphins don't have a first-round pick next year now because they traded the 49ers one away, which they had picked up for Trey Lance. And they didn't have one because they got the tampering problem for Stephen Ross.
Tampering problem. That's one way to put it.
Remember the Dolphins owner was suspended and they had to give up a first-round pick? Like, in the terms of, like, owner stories, that's actually gotten kind of buried this year.
It's weird how that happens.
Right, and they just – I'm just
saying – can't imagine why.
I just mean, like, that one I sort of forgot about when I was looking at for their first-round picks. I was like, oh, yeah, they lost a first-round pick. And this makes you think they want to get into long-term business with Bradley Chubb, but – we'll see. I suppose they could use the franchise tag. It's definitely a guy who's playing really well this year. And after a really poor 2021 coming off a major injury, he looks like an elite pass rusher. And their defense has been lacking, and he adds a lot to it.
It's aggressive, but I like it because this is also how I spend my money. So if anyone's out there, a financial advisor, I'm probably in a lot of trouble. I spend all my money on sneakers. So this is not
Colleen
about
will hire
the future.
You and,
I will.
And you'll get more money than expected. She will overpay you.
You can swindle me.
Chubb in this case
problem.
Is just a pair of sneakers. Like, he's a nice pair of Jordans, you're saying.
I mean, he's a very nice pair of Jordans. You're probably
he's a human being.
Overspending Guys. For them a little bit, but they need pass rushing help. Like, this is not about the future, obviously. It's right now. And through eight games, Miami only has 15 sacks.
Miami.
The team leader, Jalen Phillips, he only has three. Emmanuel Ogba, he's coming off that back
Miami.
Injury. And then with Byron Jones not playing right now, injured in the secondary, just kind of compounds their pass rushing issue because the blitzes, it's not efficient. They don't do it as much. And when they do it, it doesn't work. As well. So this is I think this is good for them right now, but I'm kind of surprised that they are just so all the way in this year.
I like this tweet. A lot of good takes there.
Yeah, thanks.
It was
that's
good.
You know what that is?
When she can prepare.
Preparation. I got nothing the rest of the show.
Our friend Mina Kimes had a good tweet that kind of hits at some of the points you were making as well, that their standard pass rush is getting pressure at the fourth lowest rate in the NFL. You know the importance of getting a traditional pass rush, especially come January in the playoffs. And now Miami, a team that we know is going to be able to score points no matter what time of the year it is. Well, how will Tua do when it gets cold and nasty? That's for another
Doesn't happen in Miami.
Right. Now you have a situation where the defense, Greg, can level up. And that's exactly it. Like, the Dolphins are a perfect team. You could talk yourselves into, okay, this is a next step move for them. I like the aggression.
I do too, because life is short. And I think teams like the Rams have shown that if you're smart in terms of managing the picks you have and the players on your roster, you can always keep filling in. It doesn't mean that a window has to close just because you give up future draft picks. This pick should be at the end of the first round, assuming the 49ers have a good season. So it's not like it was going to be a top 10 pick or anything like that. But it is surprising because they were such a good defensive team a year ago. They're 25th in DVOA right now that they felt the need to do this. It's been a total reversal that their offense is great. Their defense is bad, even though they kept most of the same players. They're going to get healthier in the secondary. I have to think they view Chubb as a guy they plan to keep long term, or else it doesn't make sense. Now, the Rams, and we talked about this on the Roquan Smith trade, the Rams believed that they were going to keep Von Miller when they gave over those picks, and they tried desperately to. They offered him $20 million a year, but I think that points out how difficult it can be to keep a guy when he actually gets to free agency. The franchise tag is probably the move here to retain him.
And I trust the Ravens to retain Roquan Smith in the long term because they do their stuff. Dolphins are so unpredictable. I have no idea whatever is going to happen with them. But they're on the right track, and we got developing news.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
You're not ready for this, Colleen. The anxiety emanating from your direction. I'm Tom Brokaw. Adam Schefter of ESPN reports that the Colts are trading Nyheim Hines to the Buffalo Bills. Nyheim Hines last seen vulturing a touchdown from my fantasy team away from Jonathan Taylor on Sunday. He has a role in that backfield, but he is not the guy. The Colts, they thought they were a team like the Broncos that would be contending. They are not. So they send some depth to the Bills. Greg, a Bills team that has kind of everything you'd want. And I know they added Cook, and he helps in their passing game, but maybe they're looking for a little more juice in the running game. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, this is weird. I mean, I also feel weird that Nyheim Hines just jumped over all the bigger names that were traded today because it was developing. But it is exciting
in the
moment.
Making a host call. Anything that pops up in real time, it's just exciting.
That sounds like editorial criticism.
I would know. Right?
It's been brushed away.
More just like a thought. Nyheim Hines is a really good player.
Just pierced.
He's a really good player.
Jerks.
But they also just drafted a second round pick that was supposed to play this Nyheim Hines role, and they've been running the ball very well lately. Devin Singletary looked awesome on Sunday night.
Maybe Cook, there's something we don't know, Craigie.
Cook, I think, looked good on Sunday night.
He did.
That was a pick that Draft Twitter hated because it's like, oh, this is the type of pick you make when you think you don't need anything, is you take like a third down back in the second round, and now here they're trading for another third down back. But he's a great player. So, I mean, a great third down back. So it's hard to be mad at it.
That's what has been at the top of their list is a pass-catching running back. And, yeah, James Cook, he had a really nice reception on Sunday. So who knows what's going on here with this.
And that's why, guys, our producer, Gravedigger, asked me, should I go with the developing news drop
right.
or
uh-huh.
the breaking? I said, go with developing. We don't know the terms of the deal, and we don't know if there's more to this story.
There could be more to the story.
Maybe there's something going on in that backfield for Buffalo, and they need more help. All right, let's move to another big deal. The Minnesota Vikings acquired T.J. Hockenson, former first-round pick of the Detroit Lions. So they get Hockenson, a 2023 fourth-round pick, and a 2024 conditional fourth from the Lions in exchange for a 2023 second-round pick and a 2024 third-round pick. Hockenson's a good player. He really is. I think he went 10th overall in 18 or so. And maybe he hasn't lived up to that standing. What tight end does, it seems, that gets taken in the top 10 in our league. But at the same time, he's a guy that has flashed at times. And now you send him to a Vikings offense with better quarterback play and an absolute monster number one receiver in Jefferson. I like this move, Connie, for the Vikings.
I have a couple things about this. I think it's weird that they keep trading within the division and that the Lions keep trading to the Vikings. Like, this is, we saw it on draft day too, I believe. Yeah, day one of the draft, the Lions got the number 12 pick from the Vikings, used it to get Jameson Williams. But this is interesting, just the way that they're operating here. I feel like 4 years in Detroit have really aged T.J. Hockenson a bit. There's a picture
floating around.
I think
you don't seem to like the long hair.
Sports?
I mean, I think the long hair works.
It's not about
just
the long hair.
It was just a bad picture, I feel
it
like.
It was. But
he looked like a world-weary young man.
Weathered.
All, yeah.
He looked weathered.
A little
but
bit.
I think maybe that's what happens when you're going through all of the stress that happens in Detroit.
You know what will help? A little Minneapolis winter. That will take care of the weather
they
look
always say.
To his face. Greg, what do you think about Hockenson? I think he is a guy that, if he finds the right home, could realize that potential and be, and again, tight end does not have a lot of big-time producers right now. He could take a step up, but also this is a mid-season trade. He's, you know, changing systems now. There could be a ramp-up period on that end of things.
I think he's realized his potential as a pretty good starting tight end. That he's not.
He was eighth overall pick in 2019.
See, that's what you wait, Graver, if you want to like make a correction. You can just wait till it sort of comes up naturally. We just were learning this early week.
Yeah. Justin had done earlier.
He was good in 2020. Not Justin. I'm sure Justin was great in 2020. But TJ Hockenson was good in 2020. Went to the Pro Bowl, set career highs.
Right. He had 723 yards, six touchdowns. Last year, he's not like a huge playmaker. This year, he's on pace for another 700, 800 yards. I think he's in that.
He's a dude.
He's a solid player. The Lions know him the most. And I find it interesting, they guaranteed his fifth-year option next year, which is between $10 and $11 million, I believe. And they decided now halfway through this year that, like, we don't really want to do that. He's a good player. He's the type of guy in free agency who gets overpaid because he gets there, but he's not quite in the top six or seven game changers. But I like the move for the Vikings because they just gave up so little. Mm-hmm. They get him for a year and a half. So I look at it like you get him for a year and a half. They don't have to pay him virtually anything this year. So you get him for 2 years for about $11 million, $12 million. Yep. That's a nice deal for a free agent tight end if he was out there. And then you can choose whether you get to keep him or not. And you didn't even really give up a second and third round pick. Like, that's what the headlines say. That's what the lower thirds say.
But
I would say it's more like, no, you traded down from the second to the fourth. And you traded down from the third to the fourth because you still are getting those two rookie players that you get to draft. And that's the key. I think the Vikings are still getting two rookie players.
Right.
And they had to move down, but the Lions pick's going to be much higher. So if you really look at it, it's like they're moving down a round and a half. That's not much for 2 years of a nice tight end.
I don't know. The Lions, on what they get the return on this trade is worth certainly the investment they initially made. He is due $9.4 million. Final year of his deal.
Thank you for correcting me in a natural way that didn't just bring the show to
and
a
you
halt.
Did you mention the Irv Smith injury? Did someone mention that?
I didn't. I wish I had.
So he suffered a high ankle sprain. He was their tight end one. He's going to be out multiple weeks, it looks like. So, and one more note. We talk about winners and we talk about losers.
Oh, yeah, we should do that.
Trade deadline. The Vikings, they add another player. That's a winner.
Wow, winning.
Exactly, Chaz.
We're not bringing it back.
It's back.
It's been back.
It hasn't
really left for long here.
Charlie Sheen is back.
Dan does it to us before every show almost. Every single show.
Well, winning. a loser is the Packers, and unless something changes in the next couple of minutes that we hear about, when I'm Power Rankings goes live this morning, and then Ali Bampari, our editor, slacks me. Oh, I updated the Lions blurb and mentioned that, you know, he was traded in the division. And I was like, oh, okay, the Packers finally wake up. They got somebody. The Packers? It's like, no, the Vikings. Hey, Packers, do something! Is this really how you're going to do it?
This was my loser, too, the Packers. Mm. It was actually a tie between
do something
the Packers and who was it? Who did I have here as a loser? Oh, the Packers and the Giants for not getting a wide receiver because, like, not only did the Giants not get a wide receiver, they traded one away. And the Packers, it's a shame that they can't go back to the Raiders and just, like, give those picks back for Devontae Adams.
Mm. I think what people will look back on the Aaron Rodgers era, and let's say it ends after this year, and it could. Would you be stunned if it ended after this year and think it was one of the great failures in organizational team building with a player at that level coming off back-to-back MVPs to never give him the help this year and let Devontae leave? But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I don't know. Kirk Cousins is a little bit of a winner here too, you know? Mm-hmm. The Vikings, this was supposed to be the sort of
winning.
Like, not a rebuilding year, but new
head coach.
A new staff and not much had changed. And here they are 6-1. I'm not saying Hockenson's changing their season. Of course he's replacing Irv Smith, and that's a big part of it. But all right, this Vikings team, it's like life is short. The NFC is a little weird. They're heavy favorites at this point to win the division and have a home playoff game.
Load up.
Get your boy a little help. I think both of those things will happen.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to think who. I'm like, who would they be playing against? It's a little hard to project.
By the way, I do not stand by Charlie Sheen, the man, or the decisions he's made in his life. I can only say
a disclaimer
that those 2 weeks in the summer of 2010 were some of the most absurd and fascinating in terms of pop culture meltdowns that have ever happened. And I want the youth of America to know, and the world, that is something that happened. So Duh Winning is back.
What was going on in your life at that period of time?
I had just started at the NFL in a little newsroom in Culver City, and Mark Sessler and I sat in a cubicle together. And there was a woman that worked on the programming side who never did any work. And she clipped her fingernails in the office, which is like a huge pet peeve of mine. And she was always on yelling on the phone and cursing people off. And then she would call her mom, probably long distance to save money, and then would just be on the phone with her mom for like an hour talking about mindless BS. But she always was in deep conversation about Charlie Sheen, talking about it like it was, you know, the war in Ukraine. Like, that's what the level of conversation and how serious she was. So I'm thinking about those times again.
Okay, not to sidetrack us too much, just one more follow. You said that it's your big pet peeve when people clip their nails in the office.
Is this public?
This is something that happens a lot?
It's a hideous thing.
I mean, every once in a while, you'll see it on a plane or the airport. That is
office. Disgusting. We had a boss that is no longer with us, and it's a shame. That our cubicles were right next to his office, and I would hear him clipping.
No, like, that's so gross.
I could have sworn the Charlie Sheen happened when we were at doing this podcast in Culver, but now I realize you just were talking about it still so much 5 years later. That's what it was.
Developing news, more terms of that trade between the Colts and the Bills. Zach Moss is going back to the Colts.
Oh.
So the Bills are kind of redoing their running back.
That's it? That's the whole thing?
Okay.
That's it. And since we still have the drop playing, more developing news. Ian Rappaport reports that Brandon Cooks will not be traded.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
He's staying in Houston.
He didn't go to practice today. How about that?
Well, you could say maybe he's losing. Duh, losing. Because he's in Houston still. But at the same time, maybe Brandon Cooks doesn't want to move anymore.
It's been a lot of moving for
Houston's a very nice city. I'm sure he has a great setup there.
I've got some more developing news when it comes to Brandon
Cooks. What else? What now?
Hit it. The tsunami's out of control.
I'm drowning in it.
Brandon Cooks tweeted out at 1:03 p.m.
I'm
3 minutes after the deadline. Don't take a man's kindness for granted. Covered for the lies for too long. Those days are done.
What?
Cross the line with playing with my career. Emoji bow and arrow.
Like a crossbow?
Crossbow emoji.
What's that about?
What's the backstory here?
I gotta parse this.
He's about to expose some things? Is that what's happening?
He has played for the Houston Texans for the last few years, and I don't know.
You should know that he ends every tweet with the Archer emoji.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a good
point. And he even calls himself the Archer in his bio. There's a whole vibe
that's
going
his,
on there.
That's his celebration.
That's a celebration.
So, okay, that part, not too
And he has
germane.
An extremely earnest profile photo of him taking a photo with a old-style camera in black and white. A lot going on this account. Anyway, don't take a man's kindness for granted. Covered for the lies for too long.
Oh my God.
Those days are done. Cross the line with playing with my career. So it sounds like, and this was 8 minutes ago, Greggy, as you said, he was expecting to go and now is on a team that he doesn't trust and there's a bad vibe.
And that he's about to empty out some things, maybe?
Mm-mm. I mean, this
some
is...
secrets?
This
sounds
this...
like they should have traded Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Actually, we have a little more developing news on the Zach Moss.
I can't do it.
Trade.
Ooh, Zach Moss?
Yeah, more
Naheem Hines trade.
Zach Moss, Naheem Hines trade.
Welcome back to the
news.
Zach Moss, Naheem Hines special.
Not only is Zach Moss going to Indianapolis, but a conditional sixth round pick
Thank
in
you.
2023. Mm.
Thank you for dotting the I there, crossing the T's.
Okay.
Let's take a break and get to more trade madness. Maybe even another update on Nyheim Hines, Zach Moss, and conditional picks. We'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. If you're just joining us, Nyheim Hines is a Buffalo Bill. Zach Moss is a Colt, and there's a conditional draft pick involved as well.
If you're just joining, like you skipped 23 minutes into right. the episode.
Also, Brandon Cooks is going off. He's losing it.
Mm-hmm. Not happy.
Not happy with the world, or maybe just the Texans, or maybe something else. But we need to keep moving on. Here's a trade that was interesting. Chase Claypool is on the move. He is traded from the Steelers to the Chicago Bears in exchange for a 2023 second round pick. How about that? So Claypool is a guy that I always found to be extremely, you know, talented, a big time playmaker, a guy that could be a superstar if things broke the right way. Then he gets caught up in the late period Ben Roethlisberger years. Then they draft a quarterback, and the Steelers are obviously in a bad spot. And then you hear things, Greggy, about maybe the Steelers weren't kind of in love with Chase Claypool, the dude in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And you get why this ended. And by the way, set against the backdrop of this is what the Steelers do. They draft wide receivers, find good value, and then move on. It's a churn. But anyway, they send him to the Bears. Second-round pick, though, Greggy. He was a second-round pick in 2020. Is that a lot for the Bears to give up for Chase Claypool, given what we know and what we don't?
It was, but receivers cost a lot these days. I think you need to think of them as one of the premier positions now. You look at how much A.J. Brown and the top shelf mm-hmm. receivers cost now. Then you look at free agency, how much they cost. If you look at the 2023 free agency class, and I did like a really first draft view of it a few months ago, there's no free agent receivers available. Like, it's impossible to get young receivers except for in the draft, which is why it's such an expensive pick. Most second round receiver picks these days are hitting. Like, I keep saying, like, you know, GMs should just take receivers if they want job security, because almost no one is missing at receiver. And so in that sense, it is an expensive pick. And Claypool, I think, has been up and down in his career. He got replaced essentially by a similar but better player in George Pickens. But I like that the Bears are trying to do something. So I don't have like a strong take that this is some bad move. They get him for a year and a half. It's kind of like that trade for Hockenson, too. It's not building for the future, or exactly right now, it's a little bit of both.
Can I just say, before Connie, you jump in here, that it is a second-round pick, and the Bears, unless they get hot here, that's probably like a top 40 pick.
Right. It makes a lot of sense for the Steelers.
So the Steelers have to be thrilled considering Pickens is locked and loaded to be that dude next to Deontay.
This second round pick is the one that they got in the Roquan to the Ravens deal, right? So they still have their second round pick.
I overlooked that.
Well, oh, thank you. This is for me. I thought something else. So, I thought there was more breaking news.
You're putting it into context that this trade should not be looked at in a vacuum. That's
no, I thought at first
point.
That it was going to be
so
that it was pretty rich.
So it's not the Bears pick.
I'm pretty sure it's the pick that they got in exchange.
Which makes much more
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, so they just sent it away.
Connie.
Hey.
And to think that you were doubting yourself on any level before
listen,
the show started.
I wasn't doubting myself. I just, you know, I'm trying to prepare here, gang.
Oh, no. She's a 1920s flapper again.
I'm back. Yeah. So I don't know. I think like
here.
No, go on.
Yeah,
I was seeing a lot of like Bears would trade a second round pick for Claypool, but wouldn't use one on George Pickens in the actual draft, which I thought was kind of interesting. But the fact that like the Bears get to keep their own pick and Claypool's younger and Roquan wasn't even going to re-sign in Chicago anyway, so
I'm really glad you brought that up. Because I think you have to look at those two trades together. That they essentially traded Roquan Smith for Chase Claypool.
Exactly.
It always annoys me when people say the Eagles traded up for Devonta Smith. Like, why did they do that? No, they didn't. It was part of a package of picks over 2 days that together they actually ended up moving down and picking up picks and getting Devonta Smith. You got to look at it all together.
I'm so sorry.
No. I'm
so sorry.
Get me a life jacket.
Developing news. The draft pick being sent to Pittsburgh is Chicago's pick.
Oh, I was like, well, this is the only way it would make sense.
No,
the other way. Like,
I still look at it.
Really?
I'm so glad you brought it up.
Why?
Because
really
to me, I still think you look at those trades in tandem. I think the point stands for the most part, that you look at these two trades in tandem. They still have a second round pick. They move down
this
a little.
This is so chivalrous of you, Greg.
No, I think
this
it's true.
I'll tell you what.
I think it's true.
I tell you what, didn't have time to triple source.
Hey, that's what happens.
It's trade deadline day.
That's what happens. All right.
He fits what Justin Fields does well.
Yes.
Now you can kind of see it. Justin Fields playing better. You're seeing a vision of it. He throws the ball deep down the field really well. You have Mooney and Claypool. Okay. Like
Thank
you, now
you,
you're
Greg.
Starting to have some things.
That was my kind of
winning.
My point was what we saw with the trades by Chicago of Roquan and Quinn was they are totally down to just blow up the defensive side of the ball and start over. But on offense, they have a vision. It's Justin Fields. They have some pieces in the backfield and a wide receiver they like. Now they add a guy that they can lock and load as like a number two wide receiver. It's a different thing for them between the offense and the defense in terms of how they're rebuilding.
So would you say Justin Fields is a winner here?
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say.
Wow, winning.
Tiger blood. All right, moving on. Another wide receiver trade. Remember Calvin Ridley? Calvin Ridley.
I forgot about him for
ring
a
bell?
Second. Yeah.
Not the
ball player.
Yeah, not the the pop hit maker, the dance pop guy. That's Calvin Harris.
Oh, what?
But Calvin Ridley was a wide receiver and a good one. Once upon a time, a first round pick, a rising star in the league who then made a stupid decision to gamble using an app on an NFL game. It was a parlay, I believe. It didn't involve the Falcons, I don't believe.
It did involve the Falcons beating the Jaguars. It's so funny and ironic.
So it was. Anyway, you can't do that. So he got suspended for the entire 2022 season. And the Jaguars said, oh, this guy seems like a dude we want. So they acquire Calvin Ridley from the Falcons for two future conditional draft selections. Ridley also missed the end of last year dealing with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on with Ridley, Connie, but he is a very good receiver, and the Jaguars are a team still very much building for tomorrow. They spent a lot of money on Christian Kirk and different pieces on that offense, but apparently they're still tinkering with the model around Trevor Lawrence.
So I think I'm just looking at it from the Falcons end of things first, because after they drafted Drake London, it just didn't seem like they absolutely needed to bring him back. He was kind of rumored to be moved before everything went down, before the suspension.
The Jets were interested, for example.
Yes, because Philadelphia was as well, and then they brought in A.J. Brown. So this was something that was going on, that was in the works for, I think, quite some time, especially dealing with the mental health issues at the beginning or at the end of last season. So it definitely makes sense from the Falcons' standpoint as they try to move forward. But he is a talented, talented player. So that's only going to help things with Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
Calvin Ridley had 1,374 yards and 9 touchdowns 2 years ago.
Right.
As a 26-year-old. He is lightning fast. He is exactly what you want out of a number two type of receiver. Or he could be a number one. He can win on the outside, which the Jaguars just don't have anyone that can do that. So it all makes sense to me that it's worth a shot if he wants to continue playing football. And the picks are incredibly complicated. And I wonder why this doesn't happen more. Like, we make our sandwich props very complex, I feel like, at times.
Too complex.
I agree, but how come, like, the trade terms aren't complex like this? And this one kind of is. It's a 2023 fifth that can move to a fourth depending on whether and when he's reinstated. So there's some protection if for some reason he's not reinstated and hasn't done the terms. We don't know exactly, you know, if he'll be back next year, but, you know, I think that the hope is he'll be back. The other pick can be a 2024 second round pick, and I believe it only occurs, it's either a second-round pick or nothing, if the Jaguars give him a long-term deal. So the trade has
to... Fairly arbitrary.
I mean, I don't know if it's arbitrary, but it's definitely creative. It's like saying...
What constitutes a long-term deal?
Oh, another contract.
So any type of additional contract doesn't have to be terms-wise, any length.
It's a good question. What if they just sign him to a one-year $12 million deal?
Move
does that count as a long-term deal? My guess is that would still qualify. But basically, if he does well enough that he signs a second contract with the Jaguars, they get a second-round pick, which is just that's a little fun.
This from Drew behind the glass. If Ridley makes the team in 2024, the second pick will be worth at least a fourth-rounder.
That's the fifth to the fourth.
A playing time milestone converts the pick to a third-rounder, and the Jaguars will give up a 2024 second-round pick if the team strikes a long-term deal.
So it's like there's condition on condition.
That's a wild trade.
It's like,
kind
of
fun. How long did it take to do that?
It's like there's
so many layers.
Right, there's actually like one more condition. If he flips the parlay around and this time he picks the Jaguars to beat the Falcons and the Jaguars win, then it's a first-round pick.
Now my head hurts.
No, that was a long bit that Justin was laughing at. He was with me. Clearly they wouldn't put the parlay.
I think it's a winning bit.
Okay.
Because it ties into, you know, everything that happened.
Winning.
I like that. The Jaguars are desperate. They need some outside receivers. So that was good.
Winning. Developing news. Deal at the buzzer.
What is it?
Uh-oh.
The Chiefs have traded cornerback Rashad Fenton to the Falcons, per source.
What? Really?
Fenton was recently replaced in the starting lineup, and the Chiefs have gotten good play out of their rookie cornerback. So he was deemed expendable, so he heads to an Atlanta defense that has needs right now in the secondary. See, even that, I know Atlanta's not in it to, quote, win it, or I'm sure they are. But they're like, man, we want to get some help in our back end because we can make the playoffs if a couple things break our way. So two teams make a move trying to get.
I mean,
better.
Even if they just continue sustaining what they're doing right now because the division is so bad.
Right.
Like I like it. Fenton's played a lot and played pretty well, and they're trying to get a playoff spot, but it points to what you were saying, Dan, at the start of the show. Look who's making these trades today. The Bears are acquiring players. The Jaguars, 2-6, is acquiring a player. Granted, you know, he's not available this year. And now the Falcons are acquiring players. It is a little confusing, like, who's the buyer and the seller here?
Right.
The Chiefs are the seller.
The Colts made a move. They got Zach Moss today.
Yeah, Nyheim Hines. Sixth-round pick in that deal, too.
Unbelievable. Conditional pick, too. Or is that the sixth-round pick?
Yeah, that was the conditional pick.
Hey, the Steelers acquired William Jackson and a conditional 2025 seventh-round pick from the Commanders for a conditional 2025 sixth round pick.
So that's like the lowest. It's a pick swap in 3 years with conditions on the third day of the draft, which is truly the lowest. It's essentially giving him away. It's as low as you can get.
Here's a little bit of a flop by us in terms of the rundown, and I don't point any fingers. We could have done it if we worked together on it. Jeff Wilson also
involved
with a trade. So the Dolphins got Chubb and also Jeff Wilson from the Niners for a 2023 fifth-round pick. So,
okay. Why are you moving off Jackson so quick? I thought that one was actually kind of interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just
go ahead.
Because he was the top cornerback in free agency 2 years ago. It's a very Steelers move. And I know he didn't work in Washington. A lot of people don't work in Washington. I know there's a lot of commanders in Washington.
Mark would tell you some people in the Pentagon aren't doing their work in Washington.
He's a lot of
commanders in Washington, D.C. in the Pentagon.
Fortress.
He's a cornerback with some high level traits. They got Joe Hayden, I remember, in a spot like this when people thought Joe Hayden was kind of done at 29, 30 and got like 3 great years out of him. And they're getting him for, you know, the next year. He's going to be paid $12 million. I'm just saying it's a good deal of business.
You know,
and the
like
Steelers,
that's good, Greg.
Their defense has given up the second most passing yards per game. And their top corner, Witherspoon, he's missed the last 4. So they need it.
We wouldn't have had that research used by Connie if we
absolutely
had just
boomeranged
back into Jeff Wilson. Claybon and Rank, I was eating lunch with them today up at the old huddle.
Really?
And they mentioned they got a hot new segment on fantasy, which people are really enjoying, called Dropped, and they do it like Chopped.
Oh, and, love
and,
that.
And okay. In each of the last 2 weeks, the player that was featured in Dropped was then immediately traded by their actual NFL team. This time it was Jeff Wilson.
Wow.
So maybe they're watching.
What else came out of this lunch?
Well, we talked about the strategies of how we all eat multiple lunches at the huddle because the portion size isn't like huge and we all like to eat.
Variety's
some of
too.
Us get two at a time. Some of us get the soup with the meal. Some of us, me and Rank, spread it out, have like an early lunch and then a late lunch.
You know, that's I think nutritionally that's suggested as well.
Wow, winning.
A series of smaller meals throughout the day. That's great. And I know you and Claybon are known to have lunch together. But adding Rank to the mix, that's quite a trio. Developing news
this
here.
This is on Dan's radar.
No, this is developing news.
I think Tuesdays are our day. I think it's only come together 2 or 3 times.
I gotta acknowledge something.
Yeah.
I was coming upstairs after changing, after doing my Now hit. I saw them dining together. And I had some prep work to do, but I was grabbing lunch too. And I said, you know what? That table looks pretty set. The table is pretty filled up with people.
Oh, no.
So I was going to maybe come in, but they seemed to really be enjoying chopping up their conversation. So I said, I'm going to let them do their thing.
Did you go to the locker room?
And I went to the locker room.
Wait, the two of them or the three of us?
It was the power trio, Rosenthal, Rank, and Claybon. And I said, I don't want to mess with that chemistry because it looks like something's there.
I mean, that's an interesting spin on the situation. Another way to analyze it would be like, Dan didn't want to sit with us.
This really takes me back to like the cafeteria in high school, which gave me, as you guys could imagine, worst anxiety ever.
That's why
I hated it.
All you kids out there, don't try to be on the A-list.
No.
And you know what?
Winners and losers from this. I mean, I think Rank and Claybon and I, we all won.
Winning.
I think so. That's what I'm saying. It looks so like you guys are really hitting it off as a new power trio that I didn't want to.
Sounds like there's a little bit of like underlying jealousy here.
You can look
invited?
At it that way. I don't believe they saw me.
Mm.
Maybe I would have been invited, but I can't be sure about
that. I
didn't
see.
That.
My back was to right. was to the
But
people.
That's not what it's
Ooh,
about, Connie.
It feels good to hurt your friend.
I honestly thought what they had going there was good.
Guys, I was going to say that Mike McDaniel really loves bringing 49ers running backs into Miami.
But what about my comment I had about lunch tables in school?
I think that was good.
Forget about the A-list. That's too much. It's too much heat. There's a lot of, you know, backstabbing and it's sometimes bad vibes on the A-list. Go for the B-list.
Oh, you mean in high school?
If you're on the B-list, and I was a B-list all-star in high school, you can navigate with the A-list on occasion, whether it's through sports teams or the occasional party. You could dip down to the C or even the D-list if you just like people that aren't socially gifted. And then you hang out with all the Bs, which are some of the more interesting, unique, kind of layered people in the world are from the B-list.
What are you saying, that the A's are vapid?
Not always, but sometimes, yes. But I'm saying people aspire. I need to be on the A-list in life. B-list. That's where it's at.
I think the best thing to do is variety. Like, you want to diversify your portfolio. Right. I think you want to try and be on all of the lists.
Don't fit into
a list. Just be in with all of them.
Maybe don't view life as like a tiered system
Maybe
of values
ranking
among
people. Dan. Yeah.
I can't stop. life is about rankings in so many ways.
It's
anyway,
gonna be a 7-hour
pod. Dolphins acquired Jeff Wilson from the Niners for a 2023 fifth-round pick. Jeff Wilson, you know, of course, as someone who was starting for the 49ers earlier this season when Elijah Mitchell was injured in week one. Then Christian McCaffrey hits the scene and makes Wilson expendable, so the Dolphins add another piece.
Yep, and with Chase Edmonds going to Denver as part of the Chubb deal, then this just makes sense for Jeff Wilson to be brought in to take his place.
That's right. Chase Edmonds could, by the way, I'd be a little frisky fantasy-wise. Yeah, I'm kind of helping manage my kids' teams after they start.
Who, Edmonds
out.
In Denver?
Yeah, 0-6, and I'm thinking about that Denver backfield, and not a lot of juice there, and I would say Chase Edmonds has a little more juice, whereas Jeff Wilson will be a nice backup for most.
Like you're trying to coach up your kids' fantasy teams now after the GM, you were so hands-off that they just drafted horrific teams. Got to be more hands-on before the draft in the future.
I wanted them to have fun and do their own thing. And then, yeah, Walker
Two
drafted.
Two different parenting styles right here.
Do you know what's, you know what's made the most fun? Duh.
Winning. Wow, winning.
yeah, he should not have named his team after Tom Brady in the year 2022. Oh. Then drafted him first and then Mac Jones second. Poor fantasy strategy.
Woofa. In other news, the Broncos acquired Jake Martin from the Jets along with a 2024 fifth-round pick in exchange for a 2024 fourth-round pick. The Jets signed Martin to a 3-year deal earlier this season, but he has been buried on a very deep depth chart for the Jets. So kind of a minor trade, but it is a trade, and that's what this episode is about. And speaking of trades that, unless you have something to add about Jake Martin, Greg. One trade that didn't happen, other than Brandon Cooks, and the Archer is not happy about it. The Rams offered, this is a report out there. Where was this from? Is this Shefty?
What?
The Rams offered 2 first-round picks for Panthers pass rusher Brian Burns.
Mm. And it was Albert Breer, but it was like Albert Breer in a radio interview that someone else heard and then transcribed. I'm always a little wary of like, how come Breer, he did say it. I confirmed that. I did the double sourcing. He did say it, but like, how come he didn't come out with this report? It's like, well, maybe he didn't totally, you know.
Things
move
fast in the NFL. Maybe he had a column that ordinarily, you know, learned it on Wednesday.
You know how the game, that's not
Monday.
How the game works. The game works either you're trying
to
like.
Yeah, but what are you saying? Like, what is your point then?
That he maybe doesn't, he didn't, it wasn't like he wasn't saying it with his chest. If he wasn't going to report it
right.
fully, then, you know, you got to
But it's either
about
true
it
or it's
bit.
Not, right?
Right.
Like his sources.
Or maybe, it's, yeah, there's different.
So what's the takeaway here?
Don't trust anything you hear in a radio interview.
Got it.
If it's not written in print first or a text.
Trust it
or
a little
tweet.
Less. Trust it a little less.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway, I'm mad about this because I had a sandwich prop that the Rams at the trade deadline would add a pass rusher essentially to replace Von Miller, and they tried like hell apparently to do it. I'm a little surprised they were willing to offer so much. Les Snead, the man, I mean, we don't need to dwell on this because it didn't happen, but at this point he's just leaning all in into his identity of I hate first round picks to the point where it's like he was going to give up 2 first round picks for Brian Burns.
Wow.
Like Greg, I know Burns is like one of those guys that's better than most people realize, but I feel like both sides got this one wrong if it actually was something that happened.
I tend to agree that's too much, even for a premier pass rusher, because you would have to pay him immediately. So you're also making him one of your other Rams stars, and you're giving Dan sandwiches from my pocket. And that's a loss. Yeah. I would be a loser, but now I'm a winner.
Oh, you're winning.
Wow, winning.
Tiger blood. All right.
They're also super in the future, like 2024, 2025. First.
Well, he's spoken a few times and we haven't really got on. Well, my favorite moment, not to cut you off, Justin, which
from last night.
I want to do is Justin tried to talk on our Monday night recap. People should check out with the Bengals
right,
Browns.
Of course.
And Nick cut him off and said, did I hear something?
It's amazing.
I was like, Nick Wesseling. What a great job.
Nick did it to him.
Nick did it.
Oh, I don't know if I could stand for that.
But the point is,
he's
like,
our grave digger.
These are very far in the future picks. Like 2025, like we'll even be alive by then? Come on.
What are you, Kyle Shanahan?
Yes. I hope so.
These future picks.
Well, it is a tsunami.
3 years. Well, that's true.
These future picks are funny because people always say, well, a 2025 pick, that's like a 2024 second. Like, that's the math. It's somehow worth it. And I say, no, that's not true. Only if you think you're going to get fired. Like, if you're Howie Roseman and Bill Belichick, I feel like those picks are still first-round picks. As long as you think you're going to be there, those deep into the future picks are great.
And Jeremy Fowler said that the Rams included Cam Akers in that 2 first-round pick package.
Did he say it on a radio interview or did he tweet it?
Think it might have been in print.
Okay, that's good.
Wait, I think Cam Akers, maybe I shouldn't have sidetracked the show for that point. I think that's a fair
I got a meeting coming up, guys.
That's what you're saying. I know you got to go. Moving. Cam Akers would be a loser in this situation. He sat out practice. He tweeted out that he misses football. Reportedly, they're going to just bring him back now.
Yeah, that doesn't work typically.
Ooh. And then, yeah, the Rams, I think, are losers here because look at what they tried to do. They tried to get Burns. They tried to get McCaffrey. They didn't get either. And meanwhile, the 49ers have stole their identity. The 49ers are now the win now. We're cool. We have the top tier talent. We got McCaffrey. Winning. We got all sorts of stuff.
I like it. And you tweeted that. So
they
I can trust your point even more.
That's right.
Never trust anybody in a radio interview, but if they say it on a podcast, you might as well just erase it from your mind entirely.
Podcasts, yeah.
Podcasts are a joke. Let's take a break, and we'll hit Thursday Night Football preview.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. We have survived the trade tsunami. If anything trickles out at this point, we'll let you know. But now let's turn our attention to Week 9. And a reminder, this TNF preview is presented by Prime Video, the new exclusive home for Thursday Night Football. Week 9, how about it? The Philadelphia Eagles. Undefeated, 7-0, and now they go to Houston to get the Texans. To me, the worst team in football. Brandon Cooks probably would agree at this point.
Oh, no.
So here is another great setup for the Eagles. Connie, you are a Philadelphia sports fan through and through. We talked about it on the Power Rankings podcast today a little bit. Are you annoyed with me that I don't have them at number one in the Power Rankings? It's 2. And I think you are, but you're being classy about it. But at the same time, I got to say, it's like if there are 3 truly awesome teams in the league, and we're getting sidetracked from the game a little bit, but real quick, and 2 are the Bills and the Chiefs, and they're not on your schedule, and you're the 3rd team. Like, the schedule is going to be incredibly nice for you, and it's amazing they could be 7-0 and then look at their next 3, 4, eight games or whatever and still see smooth sailing, they're never going to be an underdog in the regular season.
This has been the story the entire season, though, that their schedule is soft, but they still are good. Two things can be true at once.
I agree with that.
I think the Bills are the best team in the NFL, and that's coming from me as a Philadelphian through and through. It would worry me having these two teams play each other because they are both so talented. But what the Eagles are doing on both sides of the ball right now is something that I haven't seen in so, so long. A.J. Brown, Howie Roseman has done such a good job just bringing in A.J. Brown and knowing...
Howie motherfucker.
That's right. Howie motherfucker. He's great. Whoa. And so A.J. Brown has just been... he's just been such a dream to watch. And I'm sorry, Gravedigger. I know that this one hurts a little bit, but my goodness, he had three first half touchdowns. I mean, 156 yards. Like, he was so good in this game. And Jalen Hurts, like, everything is just working. And I've said it before, but I can't remember the last time that the Eagles had a dominant number one wide receiver like A.J. Brown at the same time that they had good players in the secondary and on defense, and then they bring in Robert Quinn as well, just because it's like, hey, why not? Let's just like bring in a pass rusher to really drive home this defense. And it's kind of crazy.
What's the desert say about this one, by the way, Greggy?
It's 13 points, which is surprisingly low to me. Mm-hmm. I figured we're getting up to 17, maybe plus, for the first time this year. Didn't happen. Graver, you pointed out the Texans going into last week had outscored their opponents in the first three quarters of games by like 20 points. And so I think that's part of it, that on paper the Texans haven't looked as bad, you know, for most of the game as their record said, but they also just had about 70 yards going into their final drive against the Titans, and they've won one game this year, and the Archer is shooting arrows from inside the building, and things are going to be on fire.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I, you know, the A.J. Brown thing, not only after watching the game yesterday, not only did he have three touchdowns, they basically shut it down in the second half, the Eagles, but he still almost had a fourth that was waved off by a penalty. And then he almost had a fifth where he got caught from behind. Like, this guy could not be covered by Pittsburgh. And now we've kind of lost a little bit. Devontae Smith has been a little bit more quiet now after we were having that conversation about who's the number one receiver. But these are the rich people problems of the Eagles. They have so many talented players. And I can't say enough about Jalen Hurts. Like, Greg, you, one of the reasons you were so high on them in the offseason was this idea that, what if Hurts does make the leap? And he is just so comfortable in the pocket. He's accurate. He's just, it's incredible to watch his maturation and see what it really looks like when a guy makes the leap in earnest. And he has.
I think Brown's skill set matches up so well with him. Like, he's willing to throw those go balls. That's the best ball he throws. And Brown just goes and gets it. So you have confidence doing it. I mean, the celebration that he got penalized for, A.J. Brown, for pointing at the two Steelers
was
the best celebration. One of them's an all-pro and Minka Fitzpatrick. Point away. I mean, they're so good right now. They got their starters out of the game before anyone played 45 snaps with Thursday Night Football going up. You never know which defender is going to have a great game. It's like they have 8 or 10 different guys that could. One week it's Reddick, and then it's Josh Sweat. And you're like, oh yeah, Josh Sweat's on a multi-year, like, long-term deal. Then one week it's Hargrave. They lose Jordan Davis for 4 to 6 weeks. We should have mentioned that on Sunday. That is a big loss for them, but they're just so deep that it feels like it doesn't matter. You're not going to find any open receivers if you're Davis Mills. They'll probably play better this week just because they can't play any worse. But, man, the 13 does not seem like enough because the Texans' defense has quietly taken a step back last year. They were a little frisky last year. They're not really frisky, and they're going up against one of the best rushing teams in terms of success rate of the last 10 years. Amazingly, the Eagles are worse than they are at rushing than a year ago when they had the highest success rate, Nate Tice pointed this out, in the last 10 years. And now they're like the sixth best team of the last 10 years in terms of success rate. They're just like a great, great running team, which sets up the pass.
Yeah, and just seeing Jalen Hurts in the same type of offense 2 years in a row, like, that is one of the things that he lacked throughout his career. And adding all of the pieces pieces that they did around him, like, you absolutely can see him grow and develop. And that has been the number one question about this team moving forward. That's why Howie made all of those deals, so he would have that draft capital to use in case they needed to go get a quarterback next season. But now they don't.
Now he just has the Saints pick. And I want to push back slightly, Dan, on the schedule thing.
Okay.
I mean, right now, the numbers say the NFC East through 8 weeks is the best division in football history in terms of record.
It's not, but record-wise,
yes. I agree, but that's crazy. So you still got New York. You guys have been trying to talk up New York to me. I don't think they're great, but you got them twice. You go to Dallas.
Yeah.
You got the Titans in there.
That's going to be tough.
You got the Packers. I know it's at home on Sunday Night Football. Maybe by week 12, the Packers are feisty. So there are some games coming up.
And I'm going to actually include the Packers because they've been legitimately bad this year. Their first 11 opponents, Detroit, Minnesota, Washington, Jacksonville, Arizona, Dallas without Dak, Pittsburgh, Houston, Washington, Indy, Green Bay.
And again, you're right.
I'm not taking away necessarily because not only have they won the games, they've stomped their opponents.
Right.
And I got respect for that, and I wish it was my team. So it's not that. It's just something that I keep my eye on and why I don't have them at number one in the power rankings despite being the only undefeated team now for weeks in the league. I'm looking forward to the Eagles because they're such a fun, exciting team. Getting punched in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And what happens next?
Well, see, I look at the schedule two different ways, and I can't decide which one I kind of want to follow which way, because I think about the fact that, yeah, it's a soft schedule, and when they finally do play a quality opponent, a really tough opponent, are they going to get smacked in the face? But also, this game is so mental, and that's what we always hear from the players that played it and the coaches and everybody else. And if they are playing like this throughout the entire season, by the end of the season, if they still are like this, at that point, aren't they just like a well-oiled machine? And mentally, they are just winning these games before they even play them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going to the Giants and going to Dallas, you still have the Saints
and
the Titans. It's not a brutal schedule, but it's hard enough. And the key is they're the favorites for the one seed by a decent amount, I would say. And the one seed is a free playoff win. And maybe there's something about like the rust where you're sitting out. I don't know if that's a thing.
I guess I'm just
it happened to Andy Reid a few times.
They're going to lose at some point.
I know, but they're probably I really think they're heavy favorites for the one seed, and that's a playoff win right there. You skip the first round and only two teams get to do that.
It's like the 85 Bears got the Dolphins and Dan Marino on Monday night. Been great to have like a week 13 Sunday night game against the Bills. But maybe we have to wait until February for that.
How about Christmas?
That's fine too.
Christmas Eve, 1:25, Greg Olson, Kevin Burkhart at Dallas.
Okay.
I'll take it.
All right. Mm-hmm.
I'll be at Pittsburgh that day. It's tough.
That's a toughie.
Tough draw.
It all sounds like a massive jinx all the way, also, by the way. We're not assuming they're going to stay undefeated. But it sets up well for somebody.
Wow, winning.
I'm assuming it this weekend. Yeah. That's why I'm locking.
Whoa.
Oh, wait, no, we can't do it. Somebody wake up Mercury Morris. All right. That was the TNF preview presented by Prime Video. The new era of Thursday Night Football is officially here, and it's only on Prime Video. Good stuff. Good app. Did we get everything? Hey, Gravedigger,
did
we
get everything?
Are you
late for your meeting, Colleen?
I am, but it's okay. I told them. Yeah. We're good.
We had some odds and ends news items that we didn't get to. A couple coaches got fired, but...
We're going to get to all that on Thursday's show, all the news.
We do have some developing news.
Stop it. Are you serious?
I really mean it.
No.
And this is going to change everything. Let's hear it.
What?
The Bills have acquired safety Dean Marlowe from the Atlanta Falcons in exchange for a 2023 seventh round pick. That is not a name that Mark Sessler made up.
Let's redo the show and lead with this.
Okay.
But if you are just joining us, Nyheim Hines headed to the Bills. Zach Moss headed the other way, and it is a draft pick.
A conditional one.
A sixth.
That's right.
Where's Mark? Hopefully Mark will be with us on Thursday. Connie, as always, thank you. For everything you've said it all.
That's exactly right. What was that?
I don't know. All right.
Goodbye.
Until
Thursday.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Sincerely. Until then. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.